And listeners, good morning. Welcome to this Monday, the 12th of October, Monday Sports Roundup. Let's start with sports headlines across Australia. Courier Mail Brisbane, Daily Telegraph Sydney, Herald Sun Melbourne and the Advertiser in Adelaide. All the same, almost unbelievable as Nadal wipes floor with Djokovic to equal Roger Federer's all-time Grand Slam record after he won the French Open. We'll talk more about that in our weekly wrap. Northern Territory News in Darwin, disgrace that robbed Wallabies of easing 19 years of pain. The Mercury in Hobart, duo rewarded in Lauderdale's round 7 win against the Tigers in the Tasmanian State AFL League. Canberra Times and the ACT, Ricky Stewart still focused on the lime green wall as they prepare for their next preliminary final on Friday night. And the West Australian in Perth, the Southern put Northern to the sword as Hockey WA launched their first Aussie All-Stars match in men's and women's challenge games, all happening over there in the West in hockey. Well, this is our weekly wrap. And as usual, let's start with the cricket and local news. Well, the limited overs game on Saturday saw Caboolture demolish Maroochydore as the Snakes declared at 7 for 262 off their 50 overs. In reply, Maroochydore all out for 193 from 44.1 overs. An outstanding 115 from 112 balls by opener Glenn Battiachotto paved the way for the win after he and Jaden Coffin scored a 60-run opening partnership. Mitchell Lee took 3 for 33 off 6 to claim the bowling honours on the day, and they have made it now 2 from 2. Round 10 at home next Saturday. Snakes will take on Gympie. Good luck, Gympie. Well, Sheffield Shield, Queensland and Tasmania, that's on in Adelaide. Tasmania first innings, 250. Michael Nessa for Queensland took 5 for 32. And in reply, Queensland a massive 6 for 331. Manus Labuschagne, 167. A career-high Sheffield Shield score. His Australian teammate, Joe Burns, though, scored 7 and Test aspirant Usman Khawaja only 4. They both fell cheaply. In the other game, well, Josh Inglis made it a breakthrough first-class century and Ashton Agar compiled his highest score as the runs flowed in Western Australia's clash with South Australia. In women's cricket, well, after more than 17 years at the top, the 21-match winning streak of Ricky Ponting's legendary 2003 side was finally matched after the Australian women's victory over New Zealand last week. They've now equaled Ponting's team record with 21 straight wins in one-day cricket, and they could well set a new mark when they next play one-day international cricket in the new year. Also had an impact on the rankings, listeners. And Meg Lang, well, she's reclaimed the number one spot in the International Cricket Council's one-day international batting rankings. The 28-year-old has replaced West Indies captain Stefan Taylor at the top of the charts and pushed Aussie teammate Elisa Healy down to third. Elise Perry, who missed the Trans-Tasman series as she continues to recover from a hamstring injury, dropped 4 places to number 7 but retained top spot in the all-rounder rankings. Fantastic results and news there for the women's cricket. And in the bowling side, well, left-arm spinner Jess Johansson retained her number 1 position in the bowling rankings. Megan Shute remained at number 3, while leg spinner Georgia Wareham jumped an impressive 18 places to 24th after taking 3 wickets. All going well there for the women's cricket with the results and in the rankings. And Stephanie Molyneux was well rewarded after taking 6 scalps. She moved into the top 100 at number 44. Only one way to go, and that's ever and upwards. Short break, listeners, and we'll be back to talk all things rugby union and the first Bledisloe Cup game that was played yesterday in Wellington here on 101.5 FM Sports. Our weekly wrap continues, listeners, with the rugby union. And, of course, as we mentioned, the first Bledisloe Cup of 2020 ended in an unbelievable 16-all draw as Reece Hodges kicked from inside his own half denied Australia the most unlikely of wins as New Zealand were held to that draw, as we've just said. Dave Rennie's first game in charge looked like it was going to get away from him after 50 minutes, with the All Blacks holding a 9-point advantage with just 30 minutes to go, the period of the game where the Kiwis are normally at their strongest. But the Wallabies, they hit back through Marika Korobetti and debutant Filippo Daganu before Hodges' big moment after the clock had gone red. But his epic kick thundered back off the post in the wind and the rain to set up a furious and breathless end to the most intense of test matches before Australia, with nearly 90 minutes on the clock, deciding the draw was enough. It's only 60 metres. Gee whiz, I wonder if Mitchell Moses, well, we'll talk about that later on because he hit the upright two in the rugby league. But fantastic result there, irrespective, 16-all draw, game one of the Bledisloe 2020. In the local rugby union news, the Snakes, round 11, probably don't want to mention the result of their final game on Saturday, but suffice to say, Caboolture didn't bother the scoreboard operator. 74-0, they lost to Caloundra. Ouch, double ouch, Johnny Flew. Harry Parker, hat-trick for the victors. USC defeated Maroochydore 23-13 and Noosa defeated Wynnum 43-19 in the other Division 1 games. The seconds, they also suffered a big loss to finish 7th on the ladder, while the women, they finished top with 42 points, followed by Noosa and Caloundra, then on 34. They'll now play Noosa next weekend to try and win a place in the grand final on the 31st of October. Go the Caboolture Women's Rugby Union team. In the Queensland Premier Rugby, round 11, in the men, well, East defeated Brothers 15-13. Bond 48 defeated University of Queensland 28, Max Dowd, a double for Bond. South 43 defeated West 38, Cooper Whiteside a double and four conversions for West, while Kana Wang a try and four conversions for South, and Sunnybank 36 defeated North 33, Nick Chapman a double for North. Well, the latter, East 33 ahead of University of Queensland by percentage on 33 points, Bond 31, GPS 29, Brothers 28, West 15, Sunnybank 11, North 10 and South 7. In the women, wins to Sunnybank. Avani Wong got a treble there. East took top spot with a 29-12 win over Brothers. West Sabre South with Tiana Malloy, another treble. And Caitlin Costello also got a triple in Bond's 44-7 win over the University of Queensland. The Colts saw University of Queensland finish first on 37 points with Brothers second on 31. And in the Shoot Shield in Sydney, Gordon finished on top of the ladder with East, Norths and Sydney Uni rounding out the top four. So plenty happening there in a rugby union. Well, listeners, we'll go to our first break here on Monday Sports Roundup. And after the break, we're going to talk all things tennis and, of course, the results from the French Open with Dylan Alcott, women in the Polish teenager Iga Swiatek, and, of course, Rafael Nadal. All that and more, Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports. Well, let's talk some tennis, listeners. The French Open. Well, number one seed Dylan Alcott of Australia beat number two Andy Lapthorne of Britain 6-2, 6-2 to win the French Open men's quad wheelchair title for the second time. Alcott broke Lapthorne's serve six times on the way to his 11th major singles title and became just the third Australian to defend a French Open title in the Open era. So congratulations there for Dylan Alcott. He has won every major singles title, including six Australian Opens, and what a fantastic athlete. In women, well, Polish teenager Iga Swiatek won her country's first Grand Slam singles title as she defeated American fourth seed Sofia Kenin 6-4, 6-1 to become the youngest women's French Open champion since Monica Seles lifted the trophy as an 18-year-old in 1992. And she is the first teenage champion since Iva Majoli in 1997. So fantastic result there. She was unseeded and she eclipsed the run of compatriot Jagwajia Jezorajska, the most outstanding Polish player of the interwar period, who finished runner-up at Roland Garros in, wait for it, 1939. Ranked 54, she is the lowest ranked woman to capture the title in the modern era and is the ninth first-time champion in the past 14 Grand Slams. By gee, she broke some records. Well done, Iga. And in the men, well, Rafael Nadal. How can you say? He demolished Novak Djokovic 6-love, 6-2, 7-5 to win his 13th French Open and equal Roger Federer's all-time record of 20 Grand Slam titles. For world number one Djokovic, the feat ended his hopes of an 18th slam and of becoming the first man since Rod Laver in 1969 to win all four majors twice. Nadal, 34, claimed his 100th match win at Roland Garros against just two defeats since his 2005 debut. The Spaniard, the oldest champion in Paris since Andreas Guimero in 1972, claimed the title without dropping a set. Fantastic result there. We salute you, Rafael Nadal. In netball, well, the West Coast Fever, they're headed to their second Super Netball Grand Final. They beat the Sunshine Coast Lightning by 14 points, 73-59 in the preliminary final yesterday. And we'll talk more about that after a short break here on 101.5 FM Sports. And listeners, as we said, the West Coast Fever, they're off to their second Super Netball Grand Final. They beat the Sunshine Coast Lightning 73-59 yesterday. And the Lightning, they've won two titles and contested three grand finals since their 2017 debut. But their stunning sequence ended with when the Fever qualified for next Sunday's grand final against the Melbourne Vixens in Britain. Spearhead Janelle Fowler was the focal point with 60 goals from 62 attempts. And some news during the week, listeners, that former Giants netball and former Sunshine Coast Lightning goal shooter and Aussie Diamonds captain Caitlin Bassett announced that she will be joining the Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic in 2021. They play in the New Zealand Championship. After 2 years with the club, the Giants released Bassett from her three-year contract after confirmation the Origin Australian Diamonds captain is not in the coach's preferred starting seven. Good enough to captain your country, but you can't get a start in a domestic competition? Please. And Australia's best emerging netball talent will converge in Hobart next year for the 2021 Netball Championships, the national titles, and they'll host the under 17 and 19 tournaments from 4th to the 11th of July, bringing together teams from each age groups from all states and territories. I'm sure the selections will be underway shortly. In basketball, the NBA Finals Series, the LA Lakers leading Miami 3-2 in the best of seven, with LeBron James for the Lakers and Jimmy Butler for Miami outstanding in Game 5. Game 6 is on as we are on air. Lakers looking to make their 17th NBA title. In football, well, the English Premier League, it's time to hit the pause button after a chaotic start to the Premier League season. And as always, the international break is more than welcome for some than others. The heavyweights Man United and Liverpool, it's a chance for reflection after massive five-goal losses to Tottenham and Aston Villa, respectively, while at the other end, Everton and Villa, they're flying. But how long will that last? Game 5 resumes next Saturday with first-placed Everton taking on fifth-placed Liverpool, the current champions. In motorsports, well, Formula One Round 11 saw Daniel Ricciardo claim his first F1 podium since the 2018 Monaco Grand Prix. He finished third at the German Grand Prix, which was won by Lewis Hamilton. The podium finish was Renault's first since the 2011 Malaysian Grand Prix. Ricciardo is now fourth on the drivers' championship table. And in a very touching moment, Hamilton controlled his emotions as he equaled Michael Schumacher's record of 91 F1 Formula wins with a measured triumph ahead of Max Verstappen. Hamilton was surprised to be greeted by Mick Schumacher, the son of the German seven-time champion, who presented him with a red helmet from his father's career collection. Fantastic. Congratulations on a great achievement, said Schumacher, a rising star who was leading the F2 series. Round 12 of the Formula One is in Portugal, commencing on the 23rd of October. And in MotoGP, well, Danilo Petrucci, or the Bologna Bullet, made it seven winners in nine races, as he and Alex Marquez became the 14th and 15th different podium finishers this year in a frantic and hugely dramatic wet French Grand Prix. Aussie Jack Miller, seventh on the driver's table. Supercars, of course, the 2020 Australian Supercars Championship. That will conclude next weekend with the Bathurst 1000. Can't wait for that. And finally, in the motorsports, two young Australians will head to Italy to take part in the 2020 Ferrari Driver Academy later this month as part of Motorsport Australia's new partnership. A Victorian James Wharton and 14-year-old Queenslander Marcus Flack, they'll represent the Asia-Pacific and Oceania region at the iconic Ferrari facility in Italy from the 21st to the 27th of October. Congratulations to both of those, particularly 14-year-old Queenslander Marcus Flack. Short break, listeners, and we'll be back to talk all things AFL and, of course, our rugby league segment just after 10 o'clock here on Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sport. And listeners, it's time to talk all things AFL and the Moreton Bay Lions. Although the under 13 girls gave a good account of themselves, they were no match for the bigger and more skilled Cooperoo girls in the grand final, losing 6-3, 39-25-17. For some of the girls, this was their first year of playing football, so to play in the grand final was a fantastic effort. All credit goes to their coach, Peter Smith. He's persevered with the girls all season, and many of those girls will now be able to back up next year, so that's a good starting sign there. So, and wonderful result, runners-up, and the club very proud of the under-13 girls' efforts and fantastic season. The club will be holding its junior and youth presentations next Sunday, the 18th of October, with the juniors kicking off at 9:30 a.m., followed by the youth teams at 11:30. The theme is water, 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 with all sorts of slides, dips and rides to keep the kids entertained. All members and families are welcome to come along and join in the fun. So that should be a fantastic day there. Next Sunday, the Moreton Bay Lions Junior and Youth Presentations. Juniors 9:30, youth teams 11:30. Well, week two of the AFL finals. Both one-way results as Richmond won its way into a fourth consecutive preliminary final, making St Kilda pay dearly for a return of its goal-kicking yips on Friday night. The Tigers won 12-8-80 to 6-13-49 and will now face Port Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval next Friday night for the right to play in the grand final. What looked like being a comfortable night for Richmond after a five-goal opening quarter blitz was anything but, as St Kilda fought until the death. The best team of the past four seasons found some form and still has a chance to defend its premiership. And with Tom Lynch back from a hamstring injury to straighten up their ball movement, they look like a totally different team. Dustin Martin, 25 disposals, 6 clearances and a goal. And Shane Edwards, probably the best for Richmond. The other semi-final, well, that saw Barry Allen's Geelong hammer Collingwood 15-10-100 to 5-2-32, courtesy of a match-winning performance by Patrick Dangerfield, who finished with 4 goals in a brilliant performance, spent largely inside the forward 50, with the Brownlow medalist gathering 19 disposals, 6 marks, and having an immeasurable impact on the result. Steady Eddie didn't have a happy face after that match. Collingwood was kept to 1 goal in the opening 3 quarters, with 4 late majors clawing them out of a record possible breaking low. The Cats, they booked a preliminary final against Brisbane next Saturday night at the Gabba, starting 6:40 p.m. local time. Now the Cats, they won all 4 of their games at the Gabba this year against Norths, St Kilda, Essendon and the Pies. While Brisbane, they'll have the supporter base on its side as it shoots for its first grand final appearance since 2004, but they've only played twice in the last month. So according to Barry, the only Geelong fan in Brisbane, Allen, it should be a fantastic game of footy, but with the Cats having played 4 preliminary finals in the last 5 years, they're cherry ripe to make it to the grand final of the season. Reckon the Cats will win by 11 in a thriller. Well, let's hope that Barry, the only Geelong fan in Brisbane, Allen, is wrong. Well, in the AFLW draft, there are 57 new women players after the completion of the historic 2020 draft last week. In an online virtual event, Richmond took elite kicking midfielder Ellie McKenzie with the first overall pick, while Jessica Fitzgerald and Isabel Lewis rounded out the top 3. Selections for the Lions included Zimarelli Farquharson, she was pick number 8 from Yeronga, Indy Tamo Tahu was pick number 37 from South Adelaide, and Ruby Spark, pick number 38 from the Essendon Victorian Football League women's competition. So some good results and good selections there for the Brisbane Lions in the AFLW, the virtual online draft that was held the other day. And listeners, news about next year's Tokyo marathon. It's been rescheduled from March till after the delayed Olympics due to the ongoing concerns caused by the COVID pandemic. The race was originally scheduled to take place on March 7 and was expected to allow around 38,000 runners to participate, but due to restricted entry to Japan, the race has now been pushed back to October 17. Tokyo is one of the 6 world marathon majors, along with Boston, Berlin, Chicago, New York and London. The decision to postpone the Tokyo Marathon comes amid concerns over whether the Olympics, which has been also pushed back by a year, can be held safely starting 23rd of July 2021. Organisers have proposed cutting back the number of staff at next year's Games and shortening the opening period for training venues as part of a plan to hold a streamlined event amid the pandemic. Well, let's see how that will pan out. Of course, plenty more scheduling to occur there, and if they're looking at trying to reduce the number of training venues, streamline event amid the pandemic. Good luck with getting that all organised. Well, listeners, in Rugby League, the Sunshine Coast Rugby League, the final round before the grand finals was played last Friday and over the weekend. And coming up after the weather, I'll give you all of the scores in most of those games, and we'll also have a look at how well the Men's Division 1 Grand Final went for Biewa after they defeated Redlands 34-8 in the Grand Final. Well done to the Bulldogs. All that and more, Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports. And listeners, as we said, it's time for our Rugby League segment in the Sunshine Coast Rugby League, the final round before the Grand Finals in the Boys Under 18. Coolum defeated Nambour 12-4. Defeated Nambour 24-12, 4 tries to 2. Kawana 58 defeated Caloundra 6, and Caboolture top spot 46 defeated Biewa 5. Defeated Biewa 6. Noosa, they had the bye. So the top four now: Caboolture 41, Kawana 38, Noosa 38, and Coolum 29. For the Caboolture team, it was a slow start, but they clicked into gear thanks to forwards Rowdy McSweeney and Callum Elton, while fullback Daniel Vukacevic had a strong game. Boys under 16, well, Kawana defeated Caloundra 18-8, Gympie 20-12 over Caboolture, and Noosa defeated the Bay. Maroochydore had the bye. So the top four in the boys under 16, Noosa, Gympie, Kawana and the Bay. Girls under 16, top place Caboolture defeated Kawana Biewa 22-16, and Noosa Nambour, well, they defeated Gympie 26-22. The boys under 15 Division 1 wins to Caboolture, means that they remain in second, and Kawana defeated Gympie. Top place Caloundra had the bye. And girls under 14, Caboolture claimed top spot with a 22-20 win over Kawana, Caloundra, Biewa, the combined team. So listeners, Caboolture, they have four teams in the grand finals next Sunday at Caloundra. The boys under 18s, well, they'll play Kawana. Girls under 16, boys under 15 Division 1, and girls under 14s, they're all in action. So fantastic day coming up there at Caloundra, all of those grand finals. Congratulations to all the teams who participated. Let's see how the number one and number two go next weekend in the grand final. But to all the clubs, the parents, the officials, the players, everyone involved, fantastic effort there, and you are to be acknowledged. In the Brisbane Rugby League A grade, well, West defeated Valleys 42-16, Wynnum 28, they defeated Carina 20. The grand final next Saturday at Nunda at 4 p.m, West will take on Wynnum. But in the highlight of the weekend, in the Men's Division 1 grand final, Biewa, they defeated Redlands 34-8, with congratulations to first-year captain coach Jordan Meads on the victory. Great effort with Biewa, leading 12-8 just before half-time when they had two players sent to the sin bin. But a strong team effort kept Redlands out, and the Biewa Bulldogs were able to score 16 points in 10 minutes to claim the title. Stephen Buckley, he got a hat-trick and was well supported by Aidan Young at the back, as well as James Kidd. And, of course, the team was supported by the 300-odd Bulldogs fanatics who travelled the 120 kilometres to the game. Jordan said he has a few more grey hairs, but he's proud of the 19 players for their efforts during an unusual season. So well done there to the Biewa Bulldogs. Congratulations to captain coach Jordan Meads and the whole club, and the fantastic support there in that grand final, defeating Redlands 34-8 on the weekend. In English Super League, round 15, Salford defeated Huddersfield, with Christian Inu scoring 3 tries and 4 goals for the Red Devils. Leeds 40 defeated Hull FC 40-22. Ash Handley and Jack Walker doubles, while Rhys Martin 6 goals for the Rhinos. St Helens, they defeated Wakefield 20-16. Lachlan Coote, familiar name, 2 tries and 2 goals for the Saints. Catalans too good for Hull KR 34-4. Israel Folau a try, and James Maloney, we know both of those, 6 goals. And Wigan 18-14 over Warrington, with Zach Hardacre a try and 3 goals for the Warriors. We certainly remember Zach at the Roosters, at the Rabbits. Short break, listeners, and we'll talk all things NRL here on Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports. And listeners, just when you thought it was safe to go back into the water, along comes Michael Jennings and Tristan Saylor. Say no more, except on Thursday night on the Grapple, we'll be selecting the Dunce Team of the Year. I was going to say Buffheads, but that would be too intelligent. Won't be hard to guess who the first two starters will be. Meanwhile, Premiership winning Kiwi, Jared Beale, he's called time on his NRL career after officially announcing last night his retirement from the game after a 194-match career. 30 years old, and he's played with the Broncos, the Dragons and the Sharks, where he played in their 2016 Premiership team, and finally with the Warriors, where he's rugby league journey will finish. NRL fans from Canberra, well, they won't be allowed to fly into Queensland to attend this week's preliminary final against Melbourne as a result of Queensland's strict border laws. Anyone who travelled from the ACT into New South Wales in the past 2 weeks must not enter the Sunshine Coast as a result of our border closure. Means any Raiders supporter who attended the Sydney Cricket Ground on Friday night for the semi-final win over the Roosters won't be allowed at the preliminary final. And the Gold Coast Titans, well, earlier this morning, they've released former captain Tyrone Roberts after he played just 3 games for the club this season. Played 59 games for the Titans across 2 spells, had limited opportunities, with coach Justin Holbrook preferring Jamal Fogarty to partner Ash Taylor. And, of course, week 2 of the NRL finals also took place. And Friday night at the SCG saw the Raiders' 5-8 Jack Whiten bury last year's grand final Demons by leading Canberra to a gripping 22-18 defeat of the Sydney Roosters that ended the bid by the Premier's hopes of a three-peat. Whiten, who was at the centre of controversial 6-call game that overshadowed the Roosters' grand final defeat last year, scored the match-winning try 11 minutes from full-time to put the Green Machine within 1 win of another decider. Prop Josh Papali, well, he was absolutely outstanding. Early try, 2 fantastic offloads, dominated the centre of the ruck, and fullback Shanae's Nicole Konstad, he produced 3 try-saving efforts as Canberra hung on. The try by Raiders lock Joseph Tappany was outstanding, but not to be outdone. Sonny Bill Williams offloaded to Stilly Tupanua, and the interchange forward simply gave the ball to James Tedesco for a 75th-minute try to set up a gripping finish, but it wasn't to be for the Roosters. No broken chairs or water bottles thrown about by Ricky Stewart. Roosters coach Trent Robinson, he shouldered the blame for their downfall and will no doubt think deeply on how his side will look next year. In the other game, the biggest non-decision of the year turned out to be the biggest decision of the year, with referee Jared Sutton not sin-binning Damien Cook for his late tackle on Junior Paulo, as South Sydney marched on to their 3rd grand final qualifier in as many seasons after a stunning 30-point fight back ended Parramatta's horror week with more finals heartbreak in a game that had some bizarre twists and turns, not to mention rebound, ricochet and runaways. By all rights, not least their pre-game lead-in, the Eels were dead in the water, but a simply electrifying first-half flurry by Clint Gutherson certainly proved otherwise, with 3 tries in 5 minutes as the King reigns supreme, making for a shock 18-8 Eels lead. Damien Cook answered in kind to the King and ran riot himself, having a hand in 3 tries as the Rabbits rattled up 30 points in 40 minutes after the break, and certainly crucial errors by Mitch Moses and Gutherson himself. With South Sydney storming back, Moses lined up a penalty goal from point-blank range with 19 minutes to go, and instead of levelling the proceedings at 20-all, he shot, hit the upright, ricocheting back to Jackson Paulo, who ran 60 metres downfield. Game, set and match after that. Just wondering where was the praying mantis when you need him. The Eels, they showed plenty of resolve, but it was glory, glory, glory to South Sydney at the end of the game. So what does Week 3 bring in the finals? Well, 2 freshly prepared teams ready to do battle with 2 teams who have just played 2 solid 80-minute games, beginning, and it begins on Friday night in Brisbane with the Storm taking on the Raiders, and on Saturday at Sydney Olympic Park, that's at 6:50, it's the Panthers up against the Rabbits. Exclusive preview on Thursday night with Macram Patchy on the grapple from 6 p.m. Don't miss it. And all I'll say, listeners, is 102 points or 51 points per game on the weekend. I'll say no more. In the NRL Women's, well, Round 2 on Saturday at Parramatta. Reigning champions Brisbane overcame the Dragons 18-4 in a drama-packed clash. And we'll talk more about that after a short break here on Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports. And listeners, as we said, Round 2 on Saturday at Parramatta in the NRL Women's and Brisbane. They overcame the Dragons 18-4 in a drama-packed clash. The Broncos did it the hard way to their 2nd victory of the season against a gallant Dragons outfit who lost to Kezzy Apps and Isabel Kelly to serious leg injuries. Continues in men's and women's. Roosters defeated the Warriors 22-12 in the other game, and it was Roosters playmaker Zahara Tamara who had the ball on a string to score a try and kick 3 goals, but it was their efforts to hold the Warriors to nil for 55 minutes that left Roosters coach Jamie Feeney more impressed. Now, Round 3, next Saturday at Sydney Olympic Park, we'll see the Sydney Roosters up against the Broncos at 4 p.m. and St George Illawarra will take on the New Zealand Warriors at 12:30. but irrespective of the results, the grand final on the 25th of October will see the Broncos and Roosters after the round two results. Well, listeners, on this day, 1853, John Morrissey won a boxing title when Yankee Sullivan left the ring after 36 rounds to slug Morrissey's fans. Well, nothing like a boxing outside the ring. 1900, the first modern submarine was commissioned by the US Navy. 1915, the Ford Motor Company under Henry Ford manufactured its 1 millionth automobile. 1921, Jaroslav Drobný, Czech ice hockey player, Olympic gold in 1948, and tennis player, Wimbledon, was born in Prague. Ice hockey and tennis. 1935, Luciano Pavarotti, Italian singer, was born. He died on the 6th of September 2007. 1938, Hugh Massey, Australian cricketer, 9 tests for Australia 1881 to 1885, and captain, passed away at age 84. 1948, Rick Parfitt, the singer and guitarist with Status Quo, was born. The Coles number there, down, down, cheaper down. 1952, Trevor Chappell, Australian cricketer, all-rounder, won't be forgotten for the underarm bowling, though, was born in Adelaide, South Australia. 1957, during Australian tour, Little Richard publicly renounced rock and roll and embraced God, telling a story of dreaming of his own damnation after praying to God when one of the engines on a plane he was on caught on fire. The singer threw 4 diamond rings valued at $8,000 into Sydney's Hunter River and soon after launched a gospel career. 5 years later, though, he switched back to rock and roll. 1964, American Don Shalander swam an Olympic record to beat Briton Robert McGregor by 0.1 second and win the 100 metres freestyle gold medal in Tokyo. It was the first of his 4 gold medals. 1968, the Summer Olympic Games opened at Mexico City. First Olympics in Latin America, and Norma Basilio Sotelo became the first woman to ever light an Olympic flame. 1969, Alison Peake, Australian field hockey halfback and midfielder at the Olympics in 2000, was born in Australia, and it was the first time 5 people went into space on this day. 1971, Gene Vincent died from a perforated ulcer, aged 36, had the 1956 US single Bebopalua, Lulu. 1974, Stephen Lee, English snooker player, was born in Wiltshire. Athlete Marion Jones in 1975 was born. She forfeited 5 Olympic Games. 1979, the Boston Celtics guard Chris Ford scored the first 3-point basket in NBA history. 1983, Alex Brosk, Australian footballer, was born in Sydney. 1997, John Denver was killed when the handmade experimental aeroplane he was flying ran out of gas and crashed off the coast of Monterey Bay in California. 1999, the day of 6 billion, the proclaimed 6 billionth living human being in the world was born. 2000, American destroyer USS Cole was badly damaged in Aden by 2 suicide bombers. 2003, the FIFA World's Women's Cup there in Carson, and Nina Kunze scored a winner in sudden death extra time as Germany beat Sweden 2-1. And 2019, Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya became the first to run a marathon in under 2 hours in Vienna, Austria. It wasn't a race by strict definition because it used pace setters and pace laser markings on a doctored course. So interesting there, 2019, just last year. Listeners, that brings us to the end of Monday Sports Roundup. Don't forget the grapple on Thursday night with Kel Patch and Greg Macca-McCallum, all the experts, and no doubt we'll be previewing the preliminary finals coming up next weekend. All that and more on the grapple Thursday night from 6 o'clock. And don't forget Monday Sports Roundup, 101.5 FM Sports, next Monday from 9:30. Have a great week, listeners.